Hey guys, this is Joe, founder and host of StartupRadio.io. As you guys may already know, I've run this podcast full-time since January 2021. I'm very happy to announce that Anchor FM is my sponsor for this podcast. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free and it's easy to use, even for a newbie. They're creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome to StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRad.io. Welcome to our 2021 FinTech review for the German-speaking area, Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, also called GSA. This is an annual tradition started in 2014, first in German, now in English. You can find the old reviews here. Bottom line is I invite entrepreneurs, investors, and thought leaders to our annual FinTech review. We'll publish it on the 25th of December, and then we will ask them a few questions. Due to the limited time, we have to do single recordings with each of our guests. So I basically had four questions to ask them, and they gave me their prepared answers. Today I welcome as our guests Janis Dust, a young fintech entrepreneur and co-founder as well as chief marketing officer of EPAP, an invoice app. Everybody who had the pleasure to already hear our FinTech review knows Paolo Cironi, a FinTech entrepreneur turned global research leader in banking and financial markets, as well as a multiple book author. You can learn more about him in our show notes. You'll find a link, of course, to his website and to his newest book. And we have the LinkedIn profiles of all of our guests linked there as well. Our third guest is Frank Schwab, the co-founder of the FinTech Forum and multiple board member. And last but not least, there is Oliver Oster, a FinTech entrepreneur and investor, founding partner of AQVC and the chief operation officer, COO of Berlin-based OptiPay. So first, let's get started. Here are our questions. What is the strongest impact of Corona on the financial and fintech world immediately and in the future?
Well, the pandemic caused an acceleration of digital adaptation on clients. It is like a bank had to digest 10 years of digital innovation and shift in only 2 years. That was an unprecedented shift. In particular, that involved the payment mechanisms and solutions, which is reflected in the market evaluation of those players. If you look at the total market share in terms of market capitalization and private equity evaluation of the top 500 global banks plus the fintech unicorns and the payment providers, you can clearly see that 10 years ago, banks represented more than 95-97% of that share. But today, in 2021, they are down to almost 70%. So that means that the payment providers in particular have been gaining traction in terms of market evaluation because everyone is realizing the fact that they are well posed to garner most of the benefits at least the initial benefits of this digital acceleration, which was really unprecedented in 2020 and 2021?
Right now, we see a high demand on, let's say, automation and digitalization. So since people move from personal to remote, a lot of processes have to be updated, and it's basically a huge accelerator for going digital for the whole banking industry. And of course, fintechs are in the pole position to either support banking processes or, let's say, being prepared in handling everything remotely, online, and automated already. So that happened for sure over the last 18 months. Whether you look at fintechs or at established bank or direct bank, everything more or less got pushed. And given the investments into the industry, the fintech industry, we see some of the highest levels ever. That basically means going forward that the change and digitalization of banking increases.
Corona has had a very, very strong impact on the entire fintech sector, and especially when you take a look at the speed of digitalization. For me, it's like insane, because customers are much more willing to use digital solutions. For example, the checkout at the point of system, which is super important for us at EPEP. And in general, everything is becoming more digital. And I personally also love the trend of buy now and pay later, which is driven by Klarna and other companies. Obviously, it's reinforced by online shopping in Corona times. But yeah, many, many technologies have now almost become mainstream.
So, I mean, here in Berlin, people always used to pay cash, actually, everywhere they're going. It's in a supermarket, in a restaurant, all over the place. They're paying cash. And I think the biggest impact is definitely that people are now really paying with a card or with Apple Pay, so with their mobile phone. So that's the most obvious, I think, development since Corona.
Our second question, what is the most important development you have seen in total in 2021 for fintechs?
So I think what is most striking are the investments we have seen. So it looks like that every week you see a three-digit million number invested as a series B, C, or D into any given fintech. The highest probably in payments, but also when it comes to, let's say, other business models in the fintech industry, think of number 20, N26 or many, many others, also in the whole blockchain, fintech, digital distributed ledger industries, you see very, very high investments and funding rounds. That's right now most striking, and going forward we will see what the impact is of these investments. I even would see that in some areas these investments are bigger as the spends of established traditional banks. So it's really very, very different than, let's say, 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, I want to mention 2 points. So first of all, the ongoing boost in digitalization, which I mentioned before. And secondly, What struck me the most this year is crypto. So the topic is so much more popular than it was 1 or 2 years ago. Crazy development overall. And now it's also been fueled even more by things like NFTs or Web3. And yeah, let's see what happens when stuff like that arrives in Germany. I have to say that I'm rather cautious about it, but it's super interesting to see what happens in America right now.
I think the rise of the metaverse, right? So crypto is coming, and for me, one of the big questions in the future will be how will we paying in such worlds, in such metaverses? Like, is it crypto? Is it still like euro or dollar, pound? I don't know. And I think these will be like one of the biggest questions. And since we just started with the metaverse, especially in this year, the big hype with Facebook turning their name into Meta is, I think, one big signal and could be like a big potential for fintechs as well.
Well, there's something very important to me. There is the shift towards rebundling financial services around a couple of ideas. One, which I don't find particularly innovative, is the one of the super apps that is already dominating the fintech scene in China and is now getting on the desk of the CEOs of payment companies like PayPal, for example, announcing that they want to build one of these. But the second is a bit more fitting the purpose, which is the emergence of this is so-called community banks. So sort of a super app, but targeted to a special community. I like to remind the interesting acquisition of Square, of Tidal. Basically, Tidal is a competitor of Spotify, a very small competitor of Spotify, and Square decided to buy them out because Jack Dorsey believes that by servicing a community, for example, of artists, in resolving their problems in terms of funding the machinery or producing their artwork is the way to become relevant inside a different ecosystem and therefore to extract value from the work of the financial services solutions. Now, Jack Dorsey said clearly that new ideas are found at intersections. I'm reading his quote, and we believe there's a compelling one between music and the economy. And that is basically one of the most interesting perspectives that I've been seeing in the last year, all inside my new book, Banks and Fintech and Platform Economies.
My third question, what do you see in 2022 for the fintechs in GSA?
Again, it's crypto, in my opinion. I hope it's becoming more popular and mainstream here, just like the buy now, pay later trend. And maybe even the technology behind crypto itself, which will become more popular. What started in America a few months ago will be here in 2022 for sure.
So I think in these countries, in the, let's say, more German-speaking countries, it will be still about the development of the fintech infrastructure, right? And bringing the people digital. I mean, since Corona boosted it very much, we do have now a good way to compete also with US, where like mobile payment etc. has been always been normal, but still in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, we still need some more development here. And that being said, also what we do with the transaction data here in these countries, right? We are always very much restricted on the analytics side, but looking into PSD2 as well, not only open banking, also open data, what we will do with the data, especially the transaction data, and what kind of offerings we can tailor to our customers.
I would say the journey continues. The biggest ones will become even bigger. So that basically means they establish themselves in the marketplace deeper and further. And of course, that also means for the ones who are rather at the starting point, it's more difficult to get the exposure and the attention. That's something I see, because it looks like that the capital concentrates now, while 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago, the capital was much more distributed. So I would argue it becomes tougher and tougher for new kids on the block to also pick a share of this changing, let's say, overall industry. So not only, so I would not only look at fintech, look at banking, and then think of fintech within the banking industry, because I think you can't separate the two from each other. And so that's what I think is something we will see in the next year, not to say in the next years. So it's not only about 2022. And I think it, let's say, for people who want to found or create a new startup, they really need to come with something very, very special. So let's say the time where you could just create a mobile bank, or let's say you have an idea on payment, that's not good anymore for an idea that searches for funding. That's probably another aspect which the audience may find of interest.
Well, I think that there are two things which are particularly relevant for the region of Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. One is a reconsideration of the role of the neobanks, some of them retrenched from their operations abroad. They need to understand that volume is not enough to generate effective value. So they didn't have yet that mechanism that goes in the direction of the super app, for example. They've been talking for a few years about being a marketplace of products, but that is not enough, absolutely not enough, because it doesn't create an all-in solution for the clients, but just of it just makes a digital display of different products, which are in a sense disconnected. And the second, of course, this was the year of DeFi. And there's no better place than Switzerland to promote, if you like, DeFi in all of its facets, which are also legal and regulatory, as well as technical. So I believe that Germany, Austria, and Switzerland might have an important role in the evolution of decentralized finance going forward.
Our last question: what field of fintech do you see becoming more important in 2022? Is it already the year of the green fintech?
Is it already the year of the green fintech? I think it's not really about the green fintech itself. It's more what green companies, or let's say ESG companies, can do with the data, with the transactional data. So there's a good example of Ecolytics, for instance, who are doing, in my point of view, a great product around transactional data, combining it with, for instance, their carbon footprint. So analyzing how you can offset it, etc. But there's still a big development possible, right? There's still a huge gap, and I don't know if, like, really the green banks will survive in that bull market. But in general, I think there will be more combination of green and fintech, so that that they are joining forces. But a pure green player in that market with, like, a green approach will be difficult. Maybe we still need like 3-4 years down the road.
Mm-hmm. So we as EPEP are also like a small part of sustainable fintechs or green fintechs, but I have to say sustainable fintechs itself are definitely becoming more popular, but I don't see this as the year of the green fintech. I rather still have the feeling that it's more difficult to create a sustainable product for the masses. And that doesn't mean I think the aspect is not important enough, because I really am a big advocate of it. But I don't know. I see it as a necessity to be a sustainable company, but I have the feeling that it's still difficult to place in broad target group if there isn't an absolutely clear added value for the user. So if it's a clear added value, then for sure it will become more popular. But right now I think it's quite hard to be a sustainable company with clear added value for it. Yeah. And, I forgot, let me take that one. I also see that crypto obviously will be the topic of 2022, even fintech.
No, not from my perspective. That's something we would see in 2 or 3 years from now. Anyhow, the whole thing around ESG, so it's not only green, it's also the S and the G. That's something a little bit later from my perspective. Probably what becomes hot, because I think that's your question. I personally think that the whole open banking and API banking we have talked about the last 3, 4, 5, 6 years, they have now reached a maturity level that actually you can go into the business. So let's say the discussion around buy now, pay later, the whole thinking around embedded finance, we now have much better, a much better foundation with APIs and open banking initiatives in order to be able to implement, let's say, embedded strategy. Buy now, pay later is an embedded strategy usually because you offer a consumer loan into a merchant process. So that's a kind of, let's say, example. But we will see that additional use cases, and that may probably something which becomes more relevant than before.
I don't think the point is about green or not green. We all have to be, and that requires, if you like, much higher transparency than what we've seen today. What I think that matters is what really matters in the transformation of financial services on mobile technology, which is the understanding, finally, that platforms are the real competition. If you go back 15 years, we clearly see that only platforms won on the internet. You get all the social media platforms, you get e-commerce platforms, so on and so forth. But for the last 10 years of fintech innovation, entrepreneurs were really focusing on simple-minded solutions, the unbundling principle, which makes no sense if not the creation of smaller, leaner, and clearer solutions. The business value and the sustainable business value can only come by the capability of bundling back these unbundled services into something that generate new value, and that is the role of platforms. Two platform strategies are clearly emerging, which I've identified in my last piece of literature, Banks and Fintech on Platform Economies. One is called contextual banking, where the bank becomes invisible through an open banking and open finance perspective. And the other one is conscious banking, where the bank remains transparent and visible to generate value for clients. Now, to conclude in a short couple of sentences, it is the opportunity to eliminate friction from a non-banking ecosystem that makes banking contextual to unlock new value, value that was not there before because that level of orchestration was not possible. Digital technology enables that. But it is the opportunity to demonstrate value for clients. The clients have to pay for access in the platform that makes banks conscious to unlock hidden value. There is value inside financial services, which does not come to the surface because there's no understanding on how transparency can effectively generate that. But this is the time around where some institutions started understanding this. And I believe this will be the direction in 2022 and going forward. Finally, the competition is on the platform economy.
And finally, wishing you happy holidays from Frankfurt. We will be back on January 13th, 2022 with an interview kicking off our new cooperation with the German AI Association. Enjoy your time with your family and friends and stay safe. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I would say buon Natale a tutti quanti.
Yes, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and see you in 2022.
All right, thank you all for listening and have a great start in the new year and have Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Bye-bye. Cheers.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.